Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Qur'an Hakim mentioned his two attributes in many places in the Qur'an. Together Allah ta'ala has mentioned these two attributes, Aziz and Hakim. Azizun Hakim. And this is a very beautiful point. Allah Ta'ala is Aziz and Allah is Hakim. Allah is so strong, Allah is so great, there's no comparison, there's no limit, there's no boundary of Allah Ta'ala's greatness. And there are some examples I could give here. Allah Ta'ala has given statements. Totally Allah Ta'ala's azmat, His greatness and power and status, we can understand that how great and brilliant is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Qur'an gives some hints. فَاتِرُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ This earth and the heavens Allah Ta'ala created. If we see when you travel on a plane, when you're flying, and sometimes the plane is flying low, and you see the sea, when the sea is beneath us, you're amazed by looking at the sea, the water, that you go from one ocean to the other, you pass by, you go from one continent to another continent, and you see the ocean in between, Allah Ta'ala's greatness. And if the plane is flying across or through the mountain range, a man is amazed at how azim, great mountains, black mountains, high peaks from far and wide, a man can see. You cannot imagine that what, how Allah created them, their decoration, their structure, how they were molded, and how solid they are. And these are small examples, giving us the direction about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our brains don't even understand this, that how Allah ta'ala is so great, how Allah ta'ala is so powerful and strong and fantastic. So Allah ta'ala is azim, and alongside this Allah says azizun hakim. Allah says azizun hakim. This is the hikmah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So if Allah is so great, Allah is aziz, then imagine if Allah is so aziz, how much wisdom Allah Ta'ala has got. Because before hikmah, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned Himself about His azmat, His greatness, aziz, Allah's status, that people can understand that if Allah is so great and brilliant, then how great will be His, how great will be His hikmah, His wisdom. So, first, Allah Ta'ala has given us the information that Allah Ta'ala is aziz, and on top of that Allah said that I am hakim. So we can't understand Allah Ta'ala's hikmah and how great Allah is. If we took the whole universe that Allah Ta'ala has created and human beings and creations, everything is according to the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of the creation and the systems that Allah Ta'ala has made are existing with Allah Ta'ala's hikmah. And we can't understand why is this. And anything we see in the whole universe, everything we see in the universe, it is not without wisdom, without hikmah. Nor is anyone created without hikmah, nor is anyone's death without hikmah, nor is everyone in being open or hidden without the hikmah and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is, you can say, existent based upon Allah ta'ala's hikmah and wisdom. If somebody understands this, then he becomes correct. That everything is based on Allah ta'ala's hikmah. To this point, that if the wind is blowing fast today, this is the hikmah of Allah. If the breeze of the wind is less in speed, this is Allah's hikmah. We cannot understand it. We can't. If a leaf is blowing on a branch, this is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very great hikmah. Now, it's not that Allah ta'ala doesn't know this. Allah ta'ala said that I'm azim, I'm aziz, and my hikmah is very great indeed. But what is it? Allah ta'ala's hikmah, His wisdom. Yeah, so one leaf, if it drops onto the ground, one leaf, we think that this is just the minor, the leaf has dropped. But the dropping of that leaf onto the ground has many wisdoms behind it, a lot of hikmah. What is the hikmah behind it? We can understand. Allah Ta'ala says everything is there. Some things I've explained to you and some knowledge has reached you, but other things have not reached to you and we cannot understand. We think it's a minor thing, insignificant, that a leaf has dropped from a tree or dropped off its branch or dropped on the road and the breeze lifts it up and takes it away. Well, a leaf is insignificant for us. It's a minor. It's a small thing, but what is the hikmah between that leaf, behind that leaf falling? And Allah Ta'ala sometimes make it known, makes the knowledge known. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala conceals the knowledge. Sometimes we see that there's an event, I remember, it's coming to my mind. Subhanallah, that sometimes we see in the gardens, in the fields, that if a mango, it drops from a tree, or if something else drops from a tree, something in some condition, there are fruits that are in the orchards, sometimes a jaman, or there are mangoes, or other fruits that fall from their branches, from the trees. So in the same way, there is a tree, and an apple fell from a tree with somebody's garden, and alongside there was a river, and the apple dropped, you know, like the apples drop from the tree, and it fell into the river, into the water. And this is just a normal thing. It will, you know, flow, and it will decay or get wet, and it will perish. Now that apple, Allah Ta'ala allowed the apple to float, and as it was floating across the river, and it was a wide river, and then it went to the other side, to the other bank on the other side, the apple. And on the other side, on the other bank of the river, there was a man. And from some days he was hungry, very hungry. And he was a darvesh, he was a pious man, he was on a journey. The poor soul, he had nothing to eat, nothing to give him energy, and he was in the state of extreme hunger. And when he was there on the bank of the river, and the apple, it was floating across and going across, and where that man was on the bank of the river on the other side, the apple reached there, and he was extremely hungry, and he was in the wilderness. There was no food to eat, and suddenly he saw the apple, and due to the extreme hunger, he straight away put his hand out into the river, and he tried, and he picked up the apple. He picked up the apple, and he consumed the apple. He ate the apple. When he ate the apple, then he was a friend of Allah, a pious person, and you can imagine his piety from here, that when he ate the apple, he didn't burp, rather that his honesty, and it was so great his honesty, it was high, he was a pious person, that after eating the apple, suddenly he thought, what have I done here? What have you done here? That this is wrong what I've done. This apple, there must be an owner of this apple. There must be a malik. And without asking, without permission, I could have let the apple go. How did I pick up this apple and eat it? Allahu Akbar. If this haram goes into my stomach, Allahu Akbar. That if now I eat this apple, it's unlawful for me, and then it makes my blood, and then I'll be finished, and my offspring will be finished, and devastated and destroyed. And then he became in a very bad state, because he was hungry, and the extreme hunger did not let him feel this or understand this. But as soon as the apple, when the maal went into the stomach, then suddenly he understood, oh, I've made a mistake here. Because then it became apparent that what have you done now? And he was distressed, and he was upset, I've done dhulam, I've picked up this apple, it's not mine, I didn't have permission, what shall I do? Suddenly he thought that this will take time for the apple to be made from the for the blood to be created from the apple. He said the apple will go yet into the stomach, it will go there digested by the stomach, then it will permeate through the lining of the stomach into the bloodstream and through the intestines and through the vessels, and maybe it will take 2, 3, 4 months for the food to transform into the blood. So he thought, in these two hours before that this becomes blood and goes into my veins, then I have no chance after that to survive. So before that, let me prepare that I find that man whose orchard this was, whose apple I consumed, from which this apple dropped. So he went into the river, and he went to the other side of the river, and as he reached to the other side of the river, that this apple, I don't want it to transform into the blood, into my body. I need to account for this apple. Imagine how azim this man must be. Can you ever find people like this in today's day and age? Impossible. Think, this is taqwa. And this is called fear of Allah. And with this taqwa, a person attains Allah's nearness. And it's not difficult. You will see this. So a thousand of whispers of the shaitan come, no, 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 don't do this. If I do this, what difference will it make? Or I can do it this way. No. What is haq is haq. Is the truth. So he went and he saw the garden. He reached to the garden, the orchard, from which this tree, the tree was there, the apple. He said, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi. He saw a darvesh, a pious person sitting there. And he said, who is the owner of this orchard? Who is the owner of this orchard? He said, why? Why do you ask? He said that, what is it you need? Do you want some money, etc., food? And he said, no, I don't need. Just tell me the owner of this orchard. He said, I am the Malik. I am the owner. He said, you are the Malik? He said, yes, I am the Malik. I am the owner. He said, I have made a big mistake. He said, what mistake have you made? He said that an apple, this is your orchard, and this is near to the river. And from one of your trees, the apple fell off the branch, and it came across to me, and I was hungry, and I picked it up, and I ate it, and I've made a big mistake. So I am present in front of you. Allah will not forgive me until you don't forgive me. And if this becomes the blood in my body, then my whole life, the ibadah, will be destroyed. I will be nothing. I will have nothing to my account. And then this blood in my body will continue into my children, and my whole generation will be destroyed. Please have rahm and mercy on me. And I request forgiveness from you. Forgive me. Subhanallah. So this event I'm telling you, do you know why I'm telling you this? On which point? On which point did I start this? The hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember the topic in the beginning. Allah is Aziz and Hakim. Allah is Almighty and He is All Wise. So this is the wisdom. That everything behind every story is the wisdom. We think, oh, the leaf has dropped. Oh, there's no reason. We think the breeze was going to the east and now it's going to the west. Why is it doing this? Oh, there's no reason. But there is a reason for everything. I'm telling you a small story. So that man, he heard this, he saw him, and he was amazed and shocked that in the world there are such people like this. That so many people, I don't know how many people eat the apples that drop off, many farmers or workers, and there's no accounts. And there's people like this in the world who come and they seek forgiveness. So he was shocked first. And after the shock, when he was overcome with the shock, then he was awoken. He said, my predicament has been solved. He said, the situation is such that you've made a big crime. You've committed a crime. That you have taken the apple from my tree. It's haram and awful. And how will you answer to Allah? He said, that's why I've come to you. That it's difficult. Allah will forgive me. I cannot attain forgiveness from Allah. Unless you help me, please, for the sake of Allah, forgive me. What shall I do? I've made a mistake. He said, okay. You've made a mistake. So I have some conditions upon which I will forgive you. He said, what's your condition? He said, the condition I tell you. He said, okay, tell me. He said, I will believe every condition I will accept, but for the sake of Allah, take me out of this problem. I don't want to be saved from the fire of Jahannam. He said, my condition is that you will have to get married with my daughter. So why? He said, okay, fine. I accept that. Subhanallah. Look at this. That getting married, wedding, nikah is something, you know, you have to select who is the bride. Is she good? Is she bad? Is she beautiful? Is she not? Sharia gives a jaza, permission. But if he's stuck, he has to ask for forgiveness and get the forgiveness. He forgot everything. He said, doesn't matter what she's like, the woman, she'll live with you the whole life. She's not for an hour or two, is it? So look how a person, he looks for the bride and the partner. But look, he was so full of remorse for his mistake. He had the fear of Allah. He said, look, okay. He said, fine, I accept your condition. Even though he knows that getting married is a massive step, which you have to think about many times. He said, okay, you'll have to get married to my daughter. He said, but my daughter is blind. He said, she's blind? She's blind? He thought, okay, no problem. At least I will be able to speak to her. She will be able to see me. She will at least be able to speak to me or hear me. And he said, but she's blind. And then the father said, she's also dumb. He said, she's dumb as well. So she's blind and she's dumb. He said, okay, I'll get married to her. At least her hands move. And he said that she's cannot walk. Allahu Akbar. So he was quiet. Tell me quickly, you're going to marry to her? He said, okay, I'll get married to her. He accepted. He said that she's not mobile. Her hands, her legs are not mobile. And she's blind and she's dumb. Now tell me, is this a sin for us that you take out a percentage now, all of us, that one apple? What am I telling you? What's the topic? Allah's hikmah, Allah's wisdom. The hikmah of one apple falling off the tree, floating across the water. of the river. Why am I telling you this? Because we are living in this world. We are the servants of Allah, aren't we? We are Allah's servants. Allah has given us life. Me and you, why were we created? For which reason? Due to the hikmah of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. There's a hikmah behind our creation. Yeah? Us being created. If an apple cannot drop without Allah's hikmah, and you're sitting here in the house of Allah, me and you, in the form of human beings, is there no wisdom behind this? Definitely there's a hikmah behind us being here. Definitely. And until today we have not understood the hikmah. That look how old we are, people of old age or younger age or middle age, and we think, oh, my father, he was my father and she was my mother, and my father and mother got married, and then we were born in Pakistan, India, then we came to this country and we're eating and drinking, then I got married here, and now I've got a shop, a business, and I'm running my life nicely, and I've got 4 or 5 children. Is this the game of life? Is this the hikmah of Allah? Is this why we were created? If this is Allah's hikmah, then this is weird, my friends. And what did Allah say first? Allah says, I'm Azizun Hakim. The Almighty, Almighty, that an apple that dropped from the tree. And suddenly I understood the reality of my life. That's what I'm speaking to you. That we don't even understand ourselves. We have not even recognized ourselves. We have not even realized that why we are here. We think we are minors. We're not here for a purpose. We're not here for a reason. Is this not the hikmah of Allah that we are created and born? What was here before? 100 years ago, if you came here where we're sitting now, was there anything here? Nothing. Nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this a plain. Then there was dust and soil. What was the hikmah there? Little bit of hikmah that we understand, that a masjid will be made here. And people will do prostration in a masjid. And then a jamaat will come and will do my dhikr. This was Allah's hikmah. Is this a little hikmah? Here a jamaat will come. Once a week there will be dhikr in the masjid. And when there will be dhikr, then from the heavens to the earth, the gap from the earth to the heavens, those angels were waiting that we want to descend to the earth and do the ziyarah of those people that are doing dhikr of Allah, and the groups and the jamaats of the angels are descending. Is this not hikmah of Allah? Is this not the wisdom? We don't know. Oh, I just came to the masjid, Masjid Aisha. We heard about Masjid Aisha. There's a gathering there. I don't know about it. Rather, a long time ago, Imam Sahib had come to Masjid Zakariya. And he met me with love and affection. He said that, I said, are you the imam? And your imam during the week. And I thought that he was an Arab or something. I realized he's from Pakistan. He said, I know you, Hazrat. I said, I haven't seen you from before. He said, I know you. I said, where are you? He said, I am in Masjid Aisha. I said, where's that? He said, are you from Birmingham? I asked him. I didn't even know that Masjid Aisha. He said, no, here. I said, where? I've been from some time. I said, Hazrat, have you never come? I said, no, I've not been. I don't even know about it. He said, please come there sometime. I said, inshallah, we'll come sometime, we'll see. Now, what did I know then? This is the hikmah of Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in our lives, we consider all the points and sectors and parts of all phases of life to be insignificant. Never think that something is a minor. Never think that an event has no matter. Or is not important. Try to understand the reasons behind events and try to get the benefit of what's happening, because nothing is of waste. If you go home, I'm telling you the truth here. You go home and you have to go in a rush, you have to open your shop, somebody's a businessman. When you get there, I left the keys at home, or halfway. Then that forgetting of the keys and you're going back from halfway, there's such a big hikmah in this. We don't know. And the hikmah was this, that you were to cross the road, a car was to come, there was going to be an accident and you were going to be injured. But because you prayed Salah in the morning and you prayed Ishraq, after sunrise you did Dua, and Dua, your Dua was accepted, that accident was diverted, and you were to pass there, Allah Ta'ala made you forget the keys, so that this was the hikmah of Allah, the hikmah behind forgetting the keys, that you were saved from the accident. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. I tell you my story. My uncle, my father's older brother, Subhanallah, tell you the truth here, my father, this is long time ago. Long term, the whole family and my uncle's 6 children, young children, boys and girls. My uncle and my father's older brother and their children, 6 children, were going to a wedding from Multan to Karachi, and they were officers, and they booked the whole carriage of the train, the bogey. They booked it all. They were comfortable and the children were eating. The food will come into the carriage. You know, for officers, the service is good with the tray of food, etc. Refreshing. Now look, one station before, the train stopped. And it stopped. And the other station was a small station where it stopped. And you can say that maybe half an hour, 1 hour more, 45 minutes, Karachi was to come. And so they nearly reached Karachi. So the train stopped. The carriage stopped. And now, my father and my uncle, my Tayaji, they said, okay, now the train has stopped. Let's do this now. that let's buy some items from the platform, from the station, get some tea, refreshments. So the wife said, no, why do you descend? Why do you have to get out? Why do you have to go? So I'm telling you this now, the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's wisdom, Allah is all wise. Now the children are sitting and the wife is in the carriage and they said, no, we'll just be 1 or 2 minutes. One child started to say, no, I want to come with you as well. I want to come as well. So he came down and descended. He said, no, you're not going to come. So we're coming back in 2 minutes. So they put the child back into the carriage, told him, get back into the carriage. So they're going now. They've left the carriage, the train to buy something, and the train started to move. Allahu Akbar, say, started to move and it left. And there was no tea there, no refreshments. But Allah Ta'ala put this into their mind that descend here. So the train started to move. What did they do? They couldn't get the same carriage. So they put it on the rail and they jumped back onto the train. They said, okay, we'll get to Karachi soon. And then the kids are further up in the carriage and they went back, further back. When the train moved, they jumped on the carriage. 20 minutes the train moved. There was a big accident. Big accident. What happened? That all the children died. Not one child existed, and just my father and his older brother remained alive. What is the hikmah? That Allah Ta'ala wanted to save them both. So Allah Ta'ala made the train have a fault. Otherwise there was no reason for the train to have a fault. The train became faulty, it stopped, and they jumped off, and the train then moved, and then they went on another carriage, and Allah Ta'ala wrote that they were to die now, to go to Jannah, etc. Or the tragedy. And there are so many hikmahs behind this event. So in Allah Ta'ala's every decision, there's hikmah. And tell me now, we depart from home, we don't think, what happened, why did it happen, what's the reason? We take everything as an accident. Oh, I became ill for this reason, this tragedy happened, or it was cold, and I forgot for this reason, and this happened, and I didn't have the key, and this happened. But look at the secrets and the wisdom of Allah behind every event. We don't understand that. We think, oh, it's our plan and this has to happen. But Allah's plan is the plan. So what happened? Subhanallah. So he said, okay, I'll get married. So the man, back to the first story. He said, okay, I accept your conditions. I need to be saved from the sin of eating the apple without your permission. He said, please hurry up. The reason being, because I don't want the apple to be digested and the blood to be formed. So before that, please accept my forgiveness. Imagine what a great personality was. It's impossible that this can happen in history. But look at the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from that apple, Allah ta'ala took the job. So he got married. Nikah took place very quickly. You probably know in this event, this is a very famous event that I'm communicating to you. After getting married, he went into his room to meet his wife, who is his newlywed wife, his bride. And he went into the room and he saw the face like so beautiful and white and transparent. And he said, Assalamu alaikum. She said, Wa alaikum assalam. And she was speaking as well. She wasn't dumb, and her hands were fine, her legs were fine, her face was beautiful. Suddenly he ran back. He said, that man can't lie, that I went to get married, and a person, he praises the girl as much as he can, he can't say wrong. He said, I've come to the wrong room. He said, no. He said, I got married to your daughter. You said to me, where have you sent me to, which room? He said, this is my daughter. But you said so much about her defects. He said, I was honest, that a man like you, with sincerity, he needs such a woman like this, who you are so good and pious, and such a woman you needed as well. And he said, what type of woman? For this reason, that she is my daughter. And she is blind, that until today, she has never seen a ghayr mahram, a man who is unlawful. And she was dumb, because until today, she never spoke anything against Sharia apart from the Quran, and she never heard anything apart from Quran and Deen, or my father. And from her tongue, she never said anything bad. Her footsteps never went towards a ghayr shara place, a non-Islam place. And her hand, how can it dare? It only knows one thing, picking up the Quran. Apart from that, it doesn't know anything else. It could not pick up anything else. So I am the dhamin, I'm protector of this girl, and she is born like this. Subhanallah. So then he said, now, surka the hikmah. You see the wisdom of the apple, that the girl, how he met, and how the girl met the boy, the man, and how the man met the girl. So Allah Ta'ala had kept the hikmah here, that this, I created this event and this match had to be made. But what was the hikmah? How were they to meet? Allah Ta'ala created the event. And such a woman, pious, such piety and cleanliness, and such a man. Imagine the child, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. And we say, Ghaus Park, this is the hikmah of that apple. From the hikmah came the child. What a great hikmah. That apple, if it didn't drop, it wouldn't have gone into the water, and Ghaus al-Adham would not have been born. So imagine the personality was born from such pious partners. Can there be anyone who comes like this? Tell me. So when the first time Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah spoke, where? that Allah Ta'ala said that he had to be born, and what was the work Allah Ta'ala wanted? The deen, the work of the deen to come from him. This is the hikmah. Allah Ta'ala's hikmah always revolves around the deen and the akhirah, the hereafter. Remember this. Hikmah. From thousands, millions of people became Muslim. Millions of people. This was his record. That the first speech he gave in Baghdad. After the first speech, the whole of Baghdad and Iraq, there was a clamor and noise that a great man has come who speaks the haq and the truth. Abdul Haq Muhaddis Delwi rahmatullah has written in his tafsir, in his kitab, then his speech, when it would take place, that 80, 90,000 people will be in his speech. Their masjids ran out, the plains and open plains and fields ran out, and there was no space. How did people come to his speech? They used to come on transport, on horses and camels, and listen. 90,000, 80,000 people, men, used to come to listen to the speech. And it's written in his kitab. He states that his speech, his bayan, when he would come to a verse of a Qur'an and recite it, whenever he would speak about azab or a warning, admonishment, when he would give the commentary of this, then many people would pass away and their janazah would have to be held after the gathering. This was the fear that people had in their hearts. And where did this man come from? Where did Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jilani come from? From the hikmah of the story of that apple. Subhanallah. Otherwise Allah is Qadir. Allah could say kun, and if he can make Adam alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, then can Allah Ta'ala not create a person of piety? Can Allah Ta'ala not create me and you without the resources? But remember, every part of our life, the second there's a wisdom, there's a reason, my friends. In every action, there's a wisdom. Don't consider something insignificant. Where does that wisdom end? Most definitely it goes to our akhir, to our hereafter. That Allah wants to save us from Jahannam due to that wisdom. And where does he want to take us? To the paradise. Allah wants to take us to paradise. The person who understands the secret of Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, alhamdulillah, he can never be unsuccessful in the world. Never. There's a disease. And illness. There are many people who are ill. Me, you, someone's got a cold, stomachache, somebody's pulse is too fast, somebody's got high blood pressure. Because in today's generation, there are less healthy people and more ill people. This is the reality. There is nothing pure today. In the older days, you would find very seldom the ill people. The whole city and the towns and the villages, where's the illness? People didn't even have a cough. That's it. And if they were ill, they'd take a vegetable or some wheat or some honey or from the carrots or some vegetables, and through the food they would take the cure. If somebody had a cold, they'd take some milk and put the butter and heat it and drink it, and the cold would go away. These were natural solutions. There was barakah, there was no fraud, no cheating, no lying. They were innocent people, straightforward people, simple people who trusted each other. They were honest people. There was no fraud. There was no deception. So Allah Ta'ala said that I kept my work going with hikmah. And today in every home we see a person with a bottle of medicine. You go to the chemist and there are bags, like a person's come from Sainsbury's. They've got shopping, the fruits. Like the person's got a big bag. I said, are you coming from Sainsbury's? Or has the chemist started selling fruit and vegetables? And you realize that he went, I have to have this in the morning, this tablet in the afternoon, and this capsule, and this is for this and this. The whole bag is full of the medicines, a plastic bag full of medicines. I thought that maybe after a few days, you know, the black bag that we use to buy things, we have to take the big black bag to buy the medicines from the chemist. So Allah's hikmah. So Allah's hikmah is so vast and great. A person's ill, this is the wisdom of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. If a person's healthy, this is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do we get from the hikmah? The akhirah. From every phase and second of life, we have to get the akhirah and the good in the hereafter. If I'm ill, Allah knows why Allah's making me ill. Why has Allah made me ill? Why have I got a cold? Why have I got flu? Why did I get tuberculosis? Why did I get TB? Why did I get mad? Why did I get mental illness? Why did I get depression? We think, why? Why Allah? Why did it happen to me? To extract that why, the kyun, we don't leave no pain, no corner, no place where we don't go and do sajda. We reach to impure people, impious people, unpious people. We don't understand. If we were to understand this is the hikmah of Allah, we would cool down and just sit there. Isn't this the case? We'd accept the destiny. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you enjoying what I'm saying? Alhamdulillah. Shukr of Allah that you've understood what I'm saying. So a person becomes happy and content. So content he becomes due to the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be happy and satisfied with Allah's wisdom and decision. So a person becomes ill. In the hadith, we've seen Allah's given cures and solutions. Person becomes ill and at different we think, oh, why? And when we're ill, should we be distressed? And doubts and criticism and making noise and complaining to Allah? No. What should we do when we're ill? Allah Ta'ala says, this is the hadith that I'm explaining to you. Allah Ta'ala says that when I give illness to someone, why do I give that person illness? Based on my hikmah, my wisdom, because I am all wise. So what is the hikmah behind this person's illness? Allah Ta'ala says, as soon as a person becomes ill, like now I'm coughing, I'm spluttering. This is an illness, isn't it? This is an illness. Allah Ta'ala says that, look, coughing is an illness. Yes. So what is this? This is also Allah Ta'ala's hikmah. Because now I'm telling the cure, so I'll take the cure and inshallah get the benefit. What is Allah Ta'ala's hikmah in this cough? Why am I coughing? Why have I got a flu or a cough, or why am I sneezing? So every human being will be satisfied after hearing what I've got to say. If you understand, a man of understanding, children, men, depression will go, all the capsules and medicines will run away. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that when a man becomes ill, any type of illness, then straight away, immediately from the heavens, two angels are sent to the ill person. How many angels? Two. Do you believe what I'm saying? Why? This is the hadith. And who states this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And about what? With which reference? Allah Ta'ala's reference. The hadith comes via Rasulullah. So will you come now or not? Yes? Now see what dua we will do. Allah keep us ill. Allah keep us ill. Come. Allah Ta'ala says two angels descend to the ill man, the person who becomes ill. Yeah? So what do we have to do? Two angels come. And Allah Ta'ala says, go to this man, because this man, I gave him an illness. I gave him sneezing or stomachache or this illness, and see where he runs to. What does he do? How does he react? Does he run to doctor Saab, or first he phones a hospital or A&E? What does he do? Come and tell me the report. Tell me his actions. Allah Ta'ala tells the angels. So the angels come like this to the earth, don't they? It takes them not even seconds. The angels come. I'm sitting at home, I'm ill, and look at my reaction due to the illness. So when the illness starts, the angels will come and say, what does this man do? What will he do? So the man, if he's a dhakir who's ill, and the person who does dhikr of Allah. Listen to this. This is the difference between the person who is a dhakir, the benefit of dhikr, the men who are sitting here. If there's a person who does dhikr, then he becomes successful. Why? Because it's his habit to praise Allah. The dhakir, what is a dhakir? The person who praises Allah. It becomes his habit. He does dhikr, he does dhikr, he does dhikr. Everything you do becomes a praise. For example, a man, if he's used to swearing, then he doesn't know where he is. He keeps on swearing and swearing. I can show you people in Makkah and Medina. Wherever he is, he will swear if he has to. He keeps on swearing and abusing. And the person who does the dhikr of Allah, if he is habitual in dhikr, then he keeps on praising and praising and praising Allah. So when the dhakir becomes ill and he's in a bad state, then from his mouth will come out a statement. And it definitely comes from a man or a woman. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Yes, if you sneeze, alhamdulillah. If you're ill, you don't phone first. Complain, you say alhamdulillah. Stomachache, you grab it, alhamdulillah. Why do you say alhamdulillah? Somebody has told you. There's hikmah, wisdom of Allah behind this. Now you'll understand what I'm saying. That somebody told him, don't think this is a pain, don't think this is difficulty, don't think this is an accident. If you've forgotten your keys, don't think this is an issue or a mistake, don't think you've done something wrong. At that time, if you say, the angels have descended, and you say alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, then what happens? That if you are ill and you say alhamdulillah, then the angels, they grab that kalima. The first reaction that you did, you made, that statement you said from your mouth, they grab that alhamdulillah, they fly up to the heavens. Allah says, have you come with the report? They say, yes, Allah. And Allah says, what did he do first? Did he phone? Did he cry? Did he complain? Oh, I'm dying. Was it just me left to be ill? Was it only me? Oh, my shop is shut down. My whole business is run down. And I'm in a loss and I'm devastated. I'm bankrupt. And people, they have issues. And they complain to Allah. They start to get distressed. They shake. A person who's had an event in his life, then he gets distressed. Then the head starts to twirl and you have bad thoughts and bad intentions. That time you don't remember dhikr or anything. Rather, all you know is that, oh, I'm in a loss. Oh, I'm going to go downhill. Oh, I'm going to sink. Today I'm ill. What was going to happen to me today? I was going to be there. I had contacts and meetings. But the person who does the dhikr of Allah, the person whose life is to be made, he says, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. Why? He says, Allah, this is your hikmah. And this is better for me. Allah, you know better what's better for me. So when he grabs hold of that kalima, the angels, they take his alhamdulillah. They say, Allah, he just said one thing. Ah, Allah says, tell me, what did he say? What was his statement when he had problems? Allah is khabir and basir. Allah knows, but Allah wants to hear from the angels. The witness statement of the angels. Allah says, tell me, angels, what did he say? Angels will say, Allah, he said alhamdulillah on his illness. Allah says, announce the good news to this man. That, oh insan, oh human being, you are successful in two places, both places. How? That if you were to pass away during this illness, then in your destiny, if comes death due to this illness, even then, Allahu Akbar, direct, you will be sent into paradise. Direct. No accounting, no questioning, direct. Why? Because you said Alhamdulillah once, and this is Allah's hikmah. And look how many days in our lives we have problems and calamities come, we get distressed. Oh, the bulb breaks. Oh, the bulb broke. Why is the dark this way? Why did this happen? As soon as the bulb breaks, Alhamdulillah, the bulb was to break. I had to go to a shop to buy it. The shopkeeper needed the money. His daughter was to get married. My pound had to go to him to increase his bank balance. Or he had to go on Umrah. He needed to save. And I gave him a pound for the bulb, and he had the profit from it, which allowed him to travel. This is the hikmah of Allah. You've seen this? So the bulb, it was breaking. What was the maqsad? That where the leaves drop, where the things occur, where the illnesses go, is due to Allah's hikmah. So when he understood the hikmah of Allah, he said, Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala said, if you pass away, and I know this, whether you're going to die or not, maybe this is my hikmah, that this illness was on your head and I wanted you to be forgiven. I wanted you to be forgiven. Maybe due to this illness you were to have death and you would have been punished. But Allah says, I want you to be forgiven. And then I gave you the cure and then you could go to paradise. And Allah says, if he gets health after the illness, then give him the good news about health. Because all your meat within your body, tell me, Allah Ta'ala gave you your body and he transformed and changed your meat in your body. All of the germs were killed off. The bacteria was killed off, the cancer was killed off, everything is finished, Allah Ta'ala says. Your meat has become healthy and vigorous, and the blood that was in your veins, I have transformed that and changed it and purified it and cleared it. This is the hadith. Meat is changed, the flesh is changed, the blood changes, and the insan becomes a new human being. And there's shifa, of course, that's automatic, the intercession. So the flesh changes, the blood changes, the body changes, the character changes. Alhamdulillah, all of the sins, Allah says, I forgive your sins, and wake up, stand up with a new lease of life. So my brothers, these are the wisdoms of Allah. Small point came to my mind, Alhamdulillah, and the discussion extended. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. On every statement of Allah, on every decision of Allah, may we say Alhamdulillah. Not should we complain at anything, we shouldn't say bad at something, we shouldn't say and lament on our situation, our condition. Straight away, go to Rabb and say, Allah, you are the Qadir, you know this quality. Allah is Azizul Hakim, all wise and almighty, almighty and all wise. Remember, he is Azizul Hakim. There's benefit upon benefit, everything that Allah Ta'ala decides, and we say Allah Alhamdulillah to everything that comes from him. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do amal. Ameen.